Deal. I want you to, if you have your Bibles or with your smart devices or however you get to the Bible, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and Numbers chapter 20. And I forgot to do that. I'm sorry. I forgot to give my wife our bulletin so she can take notes. She's going to learn something today. Amen. Look at somebody and say, the truth will set you free. All right, turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and Numbers chapter 20. And this Ephesians chapter 6 is our main scripture for this series, verses 10 through 18. It says, we're going to look at this verse. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Everybody say, armor of God. Verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And in verse 14, it says, stand firm then, and it starts listing the armor of God, and the first thing that it lists, it says, with the belt of truth. Look at somebody and say, the belt of truth. You want the belt of truth buckled around your waist. It's interesting that it doesn't say the helmet of salvation first, because you cannot receive salvation until you receive the truth. Amen? You got to hear the truth. Jesus is truth. Jesus is the word. Buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people, all the Lord's people. And everybody said amen. All right. You know, we live in a world that where, and I'm just saying, not just the world people outside the four walls of the church, but even church people, even Christians, where we are led around by our feelings, we're led around by what other people think and say, we're led around by what our culture says, what society says, and we're also led around by what's comfortable to us, what makes us feel good. And we're going to look at, you know, sometimes the truth is not comfortable. Amen. Sometimes, you know, when the Lord speaks to you, hey, you need to quit acting that way. Hey, you know, don't worry about what they think about. You know, the truth sometimes is not a comfortable thing. And I love this story. When I was studying this, there's a person in Scripture that asks the question, what is truth? And I feel like our culture today and society today is asking that question. Everybody's, you know, what is the absolute truth? I'm going to tell you, the absolute truth is the Word of God. Everything in this world is going to pass away, but the Bible says that the Word is going to stand forever. So that's what we need to build our lives on, is the Word of God. And not just having a bunch of Bibles in your house, it's having this Word implanted into your heart and into your spirit. And everybody said, amen. All right, now we're going to look at this story in John chapter 18. This is in verses 33 through 38. We'll get to Numbers 20 in a minute. If you know me, I like to look at a lot of scriptures. But this is what is truth, and this is John chapter 18. This is right before Jesus goes to the cross, and this is when he's standing before Pilate. And it says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your, and then here's what Jesus said, is that your own idea, Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Verse 35 says, Pilate replied, am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everybody say truth. And then this is what Jesus says. This is Jesus. This is written in red. He says, everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Whose side are you on this morning? Okay, if you're on his side, then you've got to listen to him. And not only listen to the truth, but you also got to be a doer of it. That's what you've got to do. And then verse 38 says, Pilate sends back. I mean, can you imagine, okay, this actually happened, guys. Pilate today, I hope to God that Pilate came. I don't know what happened to him after all this, but I hope that he came to know Jesus. If you know anything about this story, his wife actually had a dream about Jesus and said, there's something about this guy, honey. You know, I really believe that he is the Messiah. God was trying to get to Pilate's heart through his wife. He even had Jesus himself standing right in front of him, and he says this. He looks right in Jesus' eyes, and he says, what is truth? And he's looking right at him, retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews, gathered there, and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. And, of course, it goes on. They wanted Barabbas, and they crucified Jesus. And so the deal is here, guys, I want you to think, this just shocks me that Pilate had Jesus himself in the flesh standing in front of him and looks at him in the eyes and says, what is truth? And the reason why he couldn't recognize the truth that day is because he was worried about what everybody was thinking and doing. And he wanted to keep his position of power and his political things. That's why in politics today, and I'm going to get off my soapbox after I say this, that's why most politicians won't speak the truth, because they're worried about what other people think and about staying in power. We need truth today, guys. Truth is the only thing that's going to set us free. All right, I'm going to give you, if you're taking notes, my outline is going to consist of five different things in my outline, okay? And we're going to talk about, I want to talk to you about truth and why you need it and why it's so important that we have truth in here, not just up here, but in here. And the first thing is this, and you might want to write this down if you're taking notes. I encourage you, that's why we print the bulletins, by the way. Amen. Is number one, strengthen your core. Strengthen your core. And I'm gonna relay this to the physical as well, okay? I know I'm a walking specimen of strength, and I just look like it. I'm just kidding. Are you guys awake this morning? Everybody's in here just kind of... You need some truth. I just joined here. I started last month, right at the end of the month, and then this month I joined the Leedy Sweat Club. And so we have a club around here that works out Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights at 8 o'clock if you'd like to join. The more people we have join, the less the cost is. So I'm making a plug for the Leedy Sweat Club so it don't cost so much next month. But I realize when I get in there, and I know this about myself now after I've been working out a little bit. And I started this, you know, several years ago with Taya during the summers when she'd be at home, when she was off, and we'd work out together. But I found out I've got tremendous, for a guy my age, and I'm not bragging, okay? Yeah, I guess I am. I've got the microphone. But for a guy my age, I've got pretty good upper body strength. I've got very good lower body strength from all the years that I played for American Legion and caught all those years. So I got thunder thighs, but they're actually muscle in there a little bit. But I've got super upper body strength, good lower body strength, but my core sucks. My core needs help. And I was thinking about this in relation to the truth is, you know, a lot of people feel like they're strong in different areas of their life, but if you don't have truth, that's your core, then you don't have anything. And it'll eventually cause the other ones to weaken down. It'll eventually cause whatever other areas you're strong in to weaken. And so, in fact, last week we had to do what they call wall walks, and I'm not going to demonstrate that this morning. But these wall walks where you back up against the wall and you push your hands and you walk up the wall, and then you come down the wall by walking as well. Well, I could get up the wall. Like I said, I have pretty good upper body strength. But I was also, there's a little bit of a fear factor in there, because if I don't push myself up, I'm going to kiss the ground pretty quick. And so I would go up, I could get up the wall, but coming back down was I just slid down the wall. I just, like that. And the reason why I slid down, because I couldn't walk down, was because I don't have this. I need this. I need a six-pack instead of a 36-pack, if you know what I'm saying. And so we're going to get there. Amen. We're going to get there with that in the physical. But in the spiritual, guys, I cannot stress this enough. Truth is your core. You've got to have truth. You've got to have it on the inside of you. The enemies, which is the devil, the enemy's overarching device against you is deception. And deception is truth cloaked in a lie. The enemy knows the word, and he knows how to twist it. I've had many people in my office back here and who I've ministered to over the years, and I've even done it myself, where the enemy takes the word and twists it to help so that you'll be comfortable, so that you'll be happy. Truth is your core support. And I want you to look at, here's a couple of scriptures for you. Psalms 119 verses 160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth. God's whole word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Ephesians 4:21, this was a little bit before Ephesians 6, of course, but it says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And I just want you to know that Jesus is the truth. Look at somebody and say, Jesus is the truth. And here's a quote I want you to write down. Truth is God's opinion on a matter. Truth is God's opinion on a matter. Now, I want to ask you a question I want you to think about today. This is a really good question that we all need to ask ourselves. Is your life in tune to the truth? And I'm going to explain that. When Mark and the team get up here, Mark and Rachel, because they play the guitar, and I see Chase back there, he knows what I'm talking about too. The first thing that they do when they get here, even though they tuned it last Sunday, and even though that they've been here, maybe Mark has come up here during the week and played a little bit himself, because there's times Mark will come up here and play by himself and pray. Y'all don't know that, but he does that. And even though they do that, guys, every time they do that, they got to tune the guitar. And I learned this. I started taking some guitar lessons when David and Cindy Jenkins were here, and they used to pastor the Methodist church here. And I went with Taya, and I found out Taya had an ear for it. I mean, she could just hit a string, and she knows whether it's in tune or out of tune. Me, I need that little instrument that you could tell, okay, when it hits the green light, it's in tune. Okay, there we go. You know, I envy the people that can actually tune it by ear. But your life needs to be in tune to the truth, and it's like tuning the guitar. You got to be in church, and this is here, pastor's going to make a deal here for all of us. That's why you need to be in church every week. That's why I text you when you're not, because that's part of my calling, being your pastor, like Desiree. We work out together. I was like, you're going to be in church Sunday, right? Yeah. So she's holding me accountable to work out, and I'm holding her accountable to be here. That's how it works. We all need each other, amen? Because if I didn't know that Desiree was going to be working out, I was like, I'll stay at home and eat peanut butter and syrup. But we have to hold each other accountable, guys. And guys, here's what I found out. When I don't go work out 1 week, whenever I don't go to church 1 week, or I'm not in the Word for a day, I realize I'm out of tune. I'm out of tune with him. I'm out of tune with my closest relationships, which is Jada, my wife. And I just get out of tune. And so, guys, you need to stay in tune by keeping the truth in you. Here's what truth is. I'll just tell you this. Truth, when your life is in tune, the best way I can describe this, when your life is in tune to the truth, that means that truth, you're applying truth to your life, and it's working. And here's why I want to tell you this, is because I don't care. I really don't care. I used to be, and I learned this early in life in my walk with the Lord, but I used to be so impressed by people that could memorize Scripture, and they could just sit there and just quote it. I was like, my gosh, how do they do that? You know, and I was just so impressed by it. And then finally, I woke up to the fact, those same people that can do that, it's not working in their life. Their marriage is falling apart. Their relationships are falling apart. But by gosh, they can quote all of 1 Corinthians to you. Well, whoopity-doo. And I'm just saying that because it can't be just here. It's got to be in here. And that's why Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. Because the truth is working in their life. Look at somebody and say, you need to tune up and tune in. Tune up and tune in. All right, here's number two, the second thing. So you got to strengthen your core. Here's number two is we need to have a truth checkup, and we got to do that every now and then. Something I started doing here a few years ago was I joined a gym where the gym was big. You know, every gym has its own culture, and this gym was big into powerlifting, so I started powerlifting. Testosterone got to flowing. Me being a guy, I was like, I got to compete with these guys. I got to lift more than they are. I was working out with guys half my age. And then I realized things started breaking down. My knee started giving out. One of my arms was giving out. And it was because this wasn't ready. The core wasn't ready. And in fact, I can remember working out one time with a guy who was half my age. And he said, Mark, you know, weightlifting is a lot mental, you know. Even though you may be strong, it's more mental than anything. And I couldn't get over the 400-pound barrier to deadlifting. And of course, the guy that I was working out with says, Mark, a guy your size, blah, 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 you ought to be able to do 400. Well, you know what? That just ticked me off. I'm like, well, I really want to do it. But by the time I squat to lift it, my back goes, oh, my gosh, you know, because my core is not ready for it. And so I was telling him that, and he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get you a weightlifting belt. And so this is a weightlifting belt. You guys can come up here and hold this. This thing's like 20 pounds. This is like half-inch leather. I mean, it is thick. I'm not going to put it on for you because I look like a, let's put it this way. I look like a mushroom that's about to explode when I put this on is the best way I can describe that. So I'm not going to wear it. I just brought it for visual aid. And but I found out when I put that on, my stomach could push into it, my back could push into the back, and I could actually lift more weight when I had that belt on. And here's the analogy I wanted to share with you is that when you have truth on the inside, you can handle a whole lot in life. You can face anything in life because you've got the truth. I have faced a lot in my short 48 years here on the planet, a lot of ups and downs, and God's truth has kept me through them all. Have I been perfect? No. But I had to remind myself about the truth. And so, guys, I'm going to give you a few signs of a weak core, and they're going to relate to the physical, but we're going to bring them in to the spiritual under this truth checkup. And the first one is poor posture. When you have a weak core, your posture starts sulking and, you know, hunched over shoulders and all those kind of things in the natural. But in the spiritual, means you have no backbone. You don't know what you stand for because you don't know the truth, and you don't know what your purpose is in life. That's what poor posture is. That's why God wants the truth to be in here on you. The second thing is you're injury prone. When your core is not strong, you're subject to injuries. And so bring this over in the spiritual. Everybody loves Pastor Mark, right? Okay, because I'm going to step on your toes this morning a little bit. And I'm stepping on mine too. And I know there's don't feel like there's a finger, but there's three pointing back at me. You know, that old preacher thing. But it's true. You're injury prone. And in the spiritual, that means I want to ask you this. How easily offended are you? How easily offended are you? And if you are easily offended, I want you to be honest with yourself. If you're easily offended, then that means you are weak and immature. Oh, my gosh. And then here's what I want to tag along for. And I'm telling myself this, too. For God's sake, grow up. Look at somebody and say, for God's sake, grow up. All right. When you get into the Word, when I get into the Word, it's not for Jada. I can't take the Word and say, you know, I just read in Ephesians today, Ephesians chapter 5, as a matter of fact, that it says that you're to submit to me. That don't work. Tried it. It don't work. It don't work. Okay? This truth, the reason why you get into this, this is a mirror. I'll never forget. I got to tell Mark and Carrie's story. This happened a long time ago. I love telling this story. They were having a rapid discussion, if you know what I'm talking about. And Mark grabbed the Bible and he gave it to her and he said, read it! There you go. Marriage Counseling 101. It don't work that way, guys. When you get into this Word, it's not for your spouse. It's not for anybody else. It's for you. It's for you. When I was gone on the men's retreat here a few weeks ago with the guys, we had a session with Pastor Todd, who's the men's pastor at Gateway Church. And one morning, as pastors, we had a session with him where we got around, sat in a circle, and we went through James chapter 1. And we talked about what that ministered to us. And he told a story. He said, now, when you read this, you got to apply this truth that you read to you, not to somebody else, to you. And he said, he goes, I'll never forget one time. He goes, I went through that whole process and explaining how we're going to do it. And he was in a men's group. And he goes, I came around to this guy, and he said what scripture ministered to him. And he said, I'm a redneck, okay? We're okay, right? Because I'm going to tell you exactly what Pastor Todd said that he said. He goes, I'm just pissed off that nobody does the truth. This is what this guy says. And Pastor Todd said, we're sitting there in this men's group. He's like, okay. And he said, what was the scripture again? And he read it. He said, now how did that minister to you? And he said, well, I'm just ticked off because nobody does the truth. I'm just mad about it. And he goes, okay. And he told him again, he said, for the third time, he said, I want you to read that, but I want you to apply it to yourself. And he read it again. He goes, well, I'm just ticked off because nobody does the truth. And Pastor Todd had to tell him, he said, he was telling us pastors, he said, sometimes you just got to be real honest with people. And I have done this too, guys. How many of you read something in the Word and you think you know it's for somebody else, and that if they would just do this, their life would be better and they'd make my life better and all that? Yeah, we've all done that. And so Pastor Todd, this is what Pastor Todd told the guy, and I was like, there is so much truth in what you just said, Pastor Todd, because when you find something in the Word and you immediately think about your spouse or you think about some other family member or you think about somebody in church or whatever, what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you, that you're actually calling out in others what you need to do. Amen. Yeah, that's good. That's where truth hurts. That's where truth not all the time is comfortable. All right. So that's what we got to do with the truth. And then the third thing about the truth checkup is body fatigue. Truth, spiritually, when you have truth in you, it's going to give you stamina and endurance to face anything that you face in life and to face it and prevail. But when God's truth is at the core of your existence, strength flows into every other area of your life. Okay, here's number three. Number three on my outline is truth is the hanger. What I found out about the armor of God and the reason why the belt of truth is mentioned first, when a soldier got ready for battle, the first thing that he put on, like his Batman belt, was his belt, the belt of truth. And the weapons hung from it. Other things were attached to it. The breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate was attached to it. It secured everything else. But he put the belt on first. Truth was actually what everything else hung on in his uniform. And I want to tell you this, for truth in your life spiritually, everything in your life hangs on truth. Everything in your life hangs on truth. And so the belt of truth, and it's also called a girdle, okay? I'm sure it looked like a man's girdle, okay? And it did three things. Number one, it gave support to the core, which we've been talking about. It held and stabilized the other key pieces of the armor. And the third thing that it did was it secured the tunic. And so those guys back then, they didn't wear jeans like I did. They actually wore what was a tunic, like a dress. And when they were in battle, I mean, it came down. If they didn't do something with their tunic, it would trip up their legs and they'd fall and get killed. So they would actually raise it up and tuck it into their belt so that their legs were free to move. And that's why truth sets you free. Look at somebody and say, truth sets you free. And what truth does is it empowers you to hold it together during battle. It gives you support, stability, and security. And everybody said amen. All right, here's number four. And this is where we're going to get to Numbers chapter 20. And this is where the Holy Spirit told me to tell you guys and myself, this number four is walk this way, to walk in truth or walk this way. Everybody remember that song? Walk this. Okay. This is where the Holy Spirit said that we stumble. Where I stumble, where you stumble, is when we take the truth and we know it and we've heard it from God, but we don't walk it out correctly because we don't listen and we don't do it exactly. And so, and the reason why we don't is because we are too often led by our feelings, our intelligence, our own reasonings, our own instincts, and our past experiences. And I want you to see this out of Numbers chapter 20, the story of Moses. I love Moses. A great pastor, but he experienced pastoral burnout like we all do. And I love this story because it says, and he was a great man of God. He was a prophet of God. Verse 7, it says, the Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together, speak to that rock. Everybody say, speak. Before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence just as he had commanded him. These people were whining and complaining. I want you to, okay, how many mamas we got in here? Okay, when your babies are whining and, you know, you may have two or three whining and complaining, does it drive you up the freaking wall? Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Okay, can you imagine, you know, some scholars say 1.5 million up to 2 million people whining and complaining. This is what Pastor Moses is dealing with, whining and complaining because there's no water. And then in verse 10, it says, he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to him, okay, God never told him to do this. Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. God didn't tell him to do that. I'm sure he might have said some other redneck words right there too. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. Because you did that, Moses. Yeah, you've done a whole bunch of other stuff right. But because you did this, you let anger get in with the truth. Your emotions got in with the truth. Hello, has that ever happened to anybody? That's happened to me several times. Because your emotions got in there and messed this all up, you're not going to get to go in the promised land. That's where the truth hurts, guys. And our job as Belt of Truth wearers is to recalibrate our feelings, our instincts, our conscience, and experiences to line up with the truth. And I'm sure Moses could have gave an excuse and said, well, God, remember back in Exodus chapter 17, verses 5 through 6, the Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff, which is a symbolic of the word of God, with which you struck the Nile, and go, and I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb, strike the rock. This time he told him to strike the rock with the rod, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. It really has nothing to do, as I was studying that, I was like, God, you know, he didn't listen to you, he didn't do it right. And Mark, God was speaking to me and saying, Mark, it was all about the heart. It was his heart. It was how he did it. It's how he spoke the truth. He hit that rock twice and called them a bunch of rebels. And he goes, those are the people that I love. Guys, you're going to come up with opportunities in your own house, with your spouse, with your kids, to speak the truth. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't been perfect at this at all times. I've even got ticked off up here in the pulpit. And God has told me, don't ever do that again. Don't bring your feelings and your emotions into the pulpit. Don't bring your feelings and emotions into your marriage. You know, and you say, well, that's easier said than done. You can do it. But you're going to have to recalibrate your feelings, your instincts, your conscience, and experiences. Am I perfect at it? No, she'll tell you. She'll tell off on me really quick about that. But we've been in married for 25 years, and we've had to realize, let's get our emotions out of this. Let's recalibrate our feelings. Let's recalibrate, you know, everything here, and let's talk about this. That's easier said than done sometimes. But guys, we've got to speak the truth in love to others, to our spouses, to our family. God is one, that's that truth being applied and truth being used in the right way. You can use this word and just shred somebody, because this word is a weapon. You got to know how to use it. You know, and it's not to chop some other fellow believers. It's not to chop my spouse's head off with. It's to chop the enemy's head off with. Amen. Amen? That's what it's to be used for. There's been, and I told Dusty this, and I've had phone calls, I've had emails, I've had people say things about me, and I don't want to get up here and rehearse and curse, you know, all those things that have done over 17 years of ministry here in my hometown. But I can remember when we started here, and I've got all kinds of horror stories I could tell you of Christian people, of people that you think know better, and the things that they say and do. And you're just like, my gosh, God, I mean, you know, I wanted to be like Moses, listen here, you rebels, and take the word of God and just beat them over the head with it. And this is what God told me. God told me this years ago. He said, Mark, the main thing in your ministry here in your hometown, this is what you're going to have to do. Have I been perfect at it? No, have not. But I've strived to be, because God spoke this to my heart. He said, Mark, you're going to have to stay humble and stay in love. Has it been, and that's easier said than done, and I haven't been perfect at it, but stay humble and stay in love. And I just felt like I need to share that with some of you. Some of you are facing some things at work and family and different things, and I just want to encourage you, stay humble and stay in love. Let God be your defender. Amen. Let God be your defender. Here's the sermon in a sentence today, if you want to write this down. We're going to close with this. Here's about three closings for you. Sermon in a sentence. To fasten on the belt of truth is to give Christ the final say in our lives. I'm going to say that again. To fasten on the belt of truth is to give Christ the final say in our lives. Not you having the final say-so in your marriage. It's having Jesus has the final say-so in anything that you face. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. A lot of us know this scripture. If you've been around church any time, it says, the truth shall make you free. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. And here's Isaiah 30, verse 21. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Look at somebody and say, walk this way. Walk in the truth. All right. Here's the last thing that I want to tell you guys today, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 59. It says, the belt of truth marks you as a soldier when you have that on. In society that day, whenever people saw somebody with that belt on, they knew immediately that's a soldier in the army. So the belt of truth marks you as a soldier in God's army. And here's what I'll tell you. Don't be caught with your pants on the ground. Amen. Pants on the ground. Whatever that song was. Okay, here's the truth. Here's the truth. Don't leave. Here's the truth. Write this down. Truth. Don't leave home without it. Don't leave home without it. All right. Satan, this is what he intends to do. He seeks to deceive us, causing us to believe lies about God, the world, and ourselves. We put on the belt of truth by renewing our minds in God's truth, meaning we bring the truth of Scripture to mind when confronted with his lies. This was how Jesus confronted Satan while he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. And as we fasten on the belt of truth by continually filling our minds and hearts with Scripture, we tie down the loose clothing of deception to keep it from hindering us in battle. And everybody said amen. Isaiah 59, this is what we're going to close with. This was a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah about the divine warrior, which is Jesus himself. It says this, the first thing that he mentions, Isaiah said, truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. This is where the Apostle Paul got this from in Ephesians 6. According to what they have done, so will he repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. And all that is a prophecy of our divine warrior, which is Jesus himself. And I want to tell you this morning. We're studying this out. We're going to take each piece of the armor. This, your armor today, the armor of God that's upon you is God's own armor. Look at somebody and say, you got God's armor on you. And it's given to you as a gift and empowered by his Spirit to ensure victory in your life. You have the victory through Jesus because you're actually putting on Jesus, like the Apostle Paul said. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to make sure of this before we do this every Sunday. I want to make sure that everyone that's here today that listens to this online by Church's Aid, whoever listens it on the internet, the web, on the radio. I just want to make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's very simple to do that. All you have to do is it's called the prayer of salvation. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, I want you to look at me, and I want to tell you, if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, or maybe you've never done this before and you know that you're saved, but your next step of obedience is to follow the Lord in water baptism, and we can fill up that baptistry and do that next Sunday. And if you've never have done that, or maybe it took me a couple of times for baptism, so maybe you want to do that over again. We can sure do that next Sunday. The next thing I want you to do is I want everybody to stand up in here, and Mark's going to come, and he's going to speak the blessing over us and close us out in prayer. But I want to have one more prayer before he comes. And there was something that King David prayed in Psalms chapter 51. And it's so ironic that as a king, he was supposed to have been in battle with his fellow soldiers. But instead, he stayed home. And that's whenever the whole scandal in the kingdom of Israel happened, whenever he saw Bathsheba from his rooftop when he should have been in battle with his guys. And that's when the whole scandal happened. And he was lying and trying to cover it up, doing all kinds of things to cover it up. You know what? Not only will the truth set you free, the truth will also find you out. The Bible talks about that. And thank God that the truth finds us out, because that's God's love for us. And so the truth found out this man called David, who was a man after God's own heart, who had committed adultery and also had committed murder. And the prophet Nathan came to him and basically told him that whole story and said, you're the guy. David hid his face and repented. Thank God for repentance today. He repented. And there was something in Psalms chapter 51 when I was reading that he said in that prayer and that we have recorded in the Psalms. And he said this about God. Because he had run around the whole kingdom lying about it, trying to cover it up, all these things. And then, boom, truth found him out. And he realized this is God's great love towards me, that truth found me out, and I'm able to repent and get his forgiveness. And this was in the Old Testament, guys, and we live under a better covenant now. And David prayed, and he said, God, you desire truth in the inward parts. And he basically confessed all of his lies and everything and come clean, and God forgave him. God is good. Amen. Amen. And so I want to pray over all of us that we're going to leave here today and we're going to walk in truth. And even if, because the heart is, the Bible talks about in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitfully wicked. I mean, we can walk in deception, guys. I don't ever want to walk in deception. And so I want to pray over us that truth is always going to be in the inward parts. And if we ever find ourselves and we're walking in deception, that truth is going to find us out and get us back on the right path. Amen. That's the good shepherd. That's Jesus. So I'm going to pray that over all of us today, okay? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and I thank you that everyone here knows you as their Lord and Savior, and you're their shepherd. And God, I thank you that that staff is truth, is your word. And God, we are, every one of us, I myself, I don't ever put yourself up on a pedestal. Nobody in here. None of us are righteous, no, not one. We all need the Lord's help. We all need his guidance. We all need the Spirit of truth to lead and guide and direct us in life. And God, we know that we are prone to wonder because we're sheep. We're prone to wonder, and that's why we need a good shepherd. And so, God, I pray that truth is in our inward parts today. God, not just head knowledge and that we know, but a relationship with truth today on the inside of us. And God, if we're ever get deceived, God, truth's going to find us out and get us on that same path. But truth, as we walk in it, it's going to just continually set us free, God. And I thank you for the freedom that we have in your truth today. God, I thank you that you're the good shepherd and that you're leading and guiding and directing us in all truth. And I just pray a special blessing over everyone here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stay standing. And Mark's going to come up here and dismiss us. And Jade and I are going to go back here to the back.
Give the Lord a hand clap, amen. Wasn't that awesome? Truth. Go outside these four walls during the week and we'll see an absence of it. Amen. We all get to face that world and see what it's like without it. And I'm convinced, I know Pastor would agree, that nothing else is going to work, guys. In fact, we're getting further away from fixing it all the time when we can't apply the word of truth. Amen. I was thinking about one quick word on that truth with tuning the guitar. I needed a tune-up today, amen? We do tune a lot. I think when I was first tuning my guitar, if we think about that being our Christian walk, I'd get ready to tune. I didn't even know the notes. I'd hand it to Luke or Chase Bev, and I'd say, hey, tune that for me. And then they would tune it. And then eventually one day, you know what happened? I could tune my own, amen? So when Pastor Mark was talking about that relationship and truth and getting tuned up, I start leaning on other people to tune my own life. I need to be tuned to my own. And when I get tuned up to the truth and I can be tuned up, I found that it naturally spills off of me into my family and relationships. But it can if I'm not tuned to my own life. Amen. By applying the truth in prayer and in word. So that really spoke to me today that at one point in time as we're growing in our walk, let's start tuning our own lives. Amen. And quit trying to tune everybody else to the truth. And the truth will set us free. Okay. Because we need to be set free, and then others can be set free by that. That's what it spoke to me today. Okay, I'm going to pray the priestly blessing over us and dismiss. That's in Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Give the Lord another hand clap. It's a great day, great word. So